North Rock Podcast.
Good morning. Thanks for being here today. I know this is first weekend of football, isn't it, or something like that. My family was telling me about that. I'm actually involved in a fantasy football league, so it's kind of a little side note about me. For those of you that don't know me, I have been attending North Rock Church, used to be called Grace, for about 13 years or so, give or take. And I am currently on staff, and I'm the administrator here, so I do a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff, which means that I'm normally not up here on this stage. So this is a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to speak this morning. Our church, as we've alluded to, is in a season of crossing over into a new promise that God has given us, new direction for our church, and I am really excited about where God is taking us and what he's growing in us and how we're going to get to help a lot of other people and churches get going. And it's just an exciting season to be a part of. And we're likening it to this crossing over story in Joshua of the Jordan River. I'm going to pick up the story from Joshua 3 and 4. I'm only going to read the very first section. You're welcome. And then I'll recap the story afterwards. So early in the morning, Joshua and all of the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. See, the people, if you remember, they've been wandering in the desert for 40 years, relying on God to supply manna for them and get them through that time. But now they had a promise from God that there's a promised land that they were supposed to get to. But there was a really big river between them and that promise. And it was at flood stage, so it wasn't even a normal river. It was at flood stage, so it seemed like an insurmountable obstacle to get across. There were Levitical priests that were asked to pick up the Ark of the Covenant and walk into the middle of the river. Well, they didn't know, but the Lord told them, walk to the edge, and when you put your foot out and actually touch the water, I'm going to dry up the riverbed. What a promise. I don't know, I'd be a little scared. But they did it. And then there were 12 men that were chosen, one from each tribe of Israel. And they said, God told them, pick up a stone from where the Ark of the Covenant was and take that stone over to where you're going to camp tonight on the other side of the Jordan. And there I want you to build a memorial because I want you to remember what I did for you on this day. It was going to be a great thing. There are so many takeaways from this story, but I really want to camp on two things. First, to cross over, we need to remember. We need to remember. Pick up our memory stones and remember what God has done for us in the past, because it will give us strength to face the future. Why are memory stones important? Memory stones can come in all different kinds of ways. They didn't necessarily write things down back then, so stones were a way to do it. I write my memory stones down so that way I remember what God has done in my life. And the truth is, the reason why we have to remember is because we are a forgetful people. I as I get older, the more I forget. My kids could probably attest to that. But we are all forgetful. And God is constantly reminding us through Scripture, remember when I did this for you? Remember when I opened up the Red Sea and you could walk through it? Remember? So I think that's really a crucial point. I want to share a couple of my memory stones from my life story. And the first one is when I first came to Grace Church. Like I said, I started here about 13 years ago. We were actually not meeting in this building. We were meeting in a little warehouse off of 112th and Irma. I went to a women's event because at that time, that's, you know, what I was supposed to do. I wasn't really following the Lord at that time, but I knew that I should probably go to this women's event. When I walked in, each lady was given a little slip of paper, And I got one, too. It wasn't necessarily a special thing, except when I looked at the paper, it said Isaiah 41:10. And I thought, huh, okay. So I went, sat down, opened up my Bible, and I remember this like yesterday because it was so impactful for me. I read the scripture, and I think we're going to have it up, yep, on the screen. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, I'd never really heard the voice of God in my heart until that moment. And it changed my life. He's telling me, don't fear, I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, which really means surprised or discouraged. Don't be dismayed. I am your God. Remember that. I'm the God of the universe. And I carry that with me all the time. Do I forget sometimes? Yes, and the Lord has to remind me. Remember when I told you? Yeah, I do remember, Lord. Thank you. My second memory stone that I want to share is kind of a fun story, sort of. So my husband and I like to try to get away for some fun weekends periodically. This has been a few years ago. We were headed down to the south part of the state. And in order to get to where we needed to go, we had to go over the mountains. It was October, and we heard about a snowstorm that was going to be blowing in. And we thought, well, yeah, we still really want to go. So in our driveway, we prayed, Lord, which way should we go? And we really felt like the Lord said to take Kenosha Pass. Kenosha Pass. So we headed out, and the snow started coming. And it came, and it came, and it came, and we just kind of looked at each other like, okay. About halfway up the mountain, I was feeling super anxious. I don't like to drive anyway, and especially in the snowstorm, even though I wasn't driving. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We were driving about halfway up, and I prayed. I'm like, Lord, I'm not supposed to be fearful or anxious or anything like that. What is going on? And I heard him speak to my heart. When you get to the top of the pass, the sun's going to be out, and the road is going to be dry. And I thought, well, I don't even know how that's going to happen. Look at this. Because I had looked at just my things around me, my vision of what I could see. I was looking out the right side of the window, and there's a truck fishtailing right next to us. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I wish I could say that I held on to that promise right then and there. No, I was still anxious and worried, and we continued to climb. We couldn't turn around. There's really nowhere to turn around up there. You can't pull off to the side of the road, so we just kept on going. But as soon as we got to the top of the mountain, the sun was out, and the road was dry, just like God had promised me. It just was a beautiful story of, even in my anxious times, he still follows through with his promise to me, something that I can hang on to. God could have totally taken that storm away. He could have stopped it right when I prayed, but he chose not to. Instead, he gave me a promise to hang on to for when I got to where I needed to go. And that's just an encouraging word for me, and I hope it brings encouragement to you, that even though you may go through some really difficult times where you feel like you can't even catch your breath because you're so anxious, hold on to the promise that God gave you. Remember, bring out those memory stones and remember what God has done, because he will see you through. It really built my faith. Am I still scared when driving in snowstorms? Yes. But do I believe that when God gives me a promise, he's going to follow through with it? Mm-hmm, absolutely. North Rock has a lot of memory stones as well. So I'll just share a couple of those with you. The first one is a pretty big memory stone for us. It's how we got into this building. It happened right after I started coming to this church. I think they were already in the process of purchasing the land and doing what they were doing here. So I didn't actually live out the details of this, but I've heard this story many times, and I feel like we need to carry this, remember this event, because it was pretty profound. The one thing that jumped out at me in this story is that when we approached local banks for a loan, they laughed at us right out of the bank. Like we didn't have money, we didn't have collateral, and they wouldn't give us a loan. When we finally did get a loan, the city of Thornton came back and said that we had to purchase the land where Buffalo Wild Wings and Qdoba is, so that way we could build a parking lot, because we don't have a lot of parking around this building. So there was a generous donation that came in, well over $200,000, that helped us purchase that land. Not only that, but gave us enough money to redo the inside of this building. This used to be a furniture store. And before that, it was an appliance store. I bought my first dishwasher here. So God really does come through. He is so faithful. Construction was supposed to take 3 to 6 months. It took 22 months. So that meant that they made their lease payment on the warehouse, but they also had the mortgage payment here for almost 2 years. And God's faithfulness through that time. That's what I kept hearing throughout that story, is how God, he wanted us here in this location, and this is where we're at. And look at the beautiful facility we have. The next memory stone is a little bit more, some of mine too, but it's for the church, and it's my stump story. Back in January 2014, I was praying for our church, and the Lord gave me a picture of a stump, a tree stump, and it had a little bit of a green branch coming out the side of it. I thought, well, that's interesting, and he led me to Isaiah 11:1. A shoot will come up out of the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Now, becoming a stump doesn't exactly bring encouragement, I would think, because that implies that some things have to be chopped off. And we were going through some times of people leaving and different people coming in, and it was just an interesting time for our church. But the one thing that I remember out of that is that God gave a promise of the new life that was going to be growing outside of that stump. And I believe that we're in that season right now, because I see new life blooming. We had over 130 people come to our event in May. Servant leaders that are dedicated to being here and walking this thing out with us. Just so exciting. Financially, we are so much better off than we were last year this time. I can't even begin to tell you. We're able to pay all of our bills. We were running a little behind this time last year, even through the summer months. So God is good. He is so faithful. Amen. And there's an excitement in the air. People are starting to step up and begin serving in different teams. And there's just an excitement in the air. And it's easy to catch on and to run with that. Are we where we need to be? No. I think we're going to grow even bigger. But there is a new life growing now, and I'm excited to see where it goes. As we cross over, we need to remember to take our memory stones with us. But the second point out of that Joshua story is that we need to be carriers. What is a carrier? Just somebody that invests their time and their treasure and their talents. In Joshua, everyone had something to carry over. The priests were assigned to carry over the Ark of the Covenant. The men that were chosen from the different tribes were asked to pick up the stones and carry them over. There were 40,000 fighting men that went over in the front of everyone, ready and armed for battle. They had to carry their gear. There were all the people that had to come over. They weren't leaving stuff behind. They had their tents, their belongings, all of those things. Everybody played a part in crossing that Jordan River. And I think that rings true for us at North Rock. Pastor Chad says it all the time, and I truly do believe it. We want to be a church where everybody plays. We all have gifts and we all have talents, and it's exciting to watch them bloom in people's lives. Have you ever noticed how carrying something can affect your walk? One story that I'll share, my older son, Robbie, he plays the tuba. And in marching band, he played, it was the sousaphone, which is the really big thing that sits on your shoulder. He carried it for 6 years. And as he carried it, just on that one side, that muscle built strong. It was big. But this other one, not so much. But where the muscle was, you could tell, because he would walk kind of crooked, because this one was stronger. So carrying things really does, they really do affect you, but it builds muscle, gives us faith. One memory stone that I'm carrying over is my testimony of how I came to be standing in front of you today. As I alluded to earlier, this is not necessarily my comfort zone, but God did such an amazing work in my life that I can't help but share it. When I found this church, I was seeking a place where I could really belong. You see, I had been a part of a church in Boulder when I was growing up, part of a youth group, and I loved it. I felt so included, so loved, just got along with everybody there, and I wanted that for me again, and I wanted it for my family. And the Lord brought me here, which is another great story that I won't talk about. But after attending off and on for a few months, I was invited to go to a Bible study. So this Bible study was at Diana Von Felt's house. I bring her up because she made such an impact in my life. She became a really good mentor and friend for me. But when I started going there, I thought, well, it'll be easy. Just go and hang out for an hour with the ladies. And no, not in Diana's Bible study. I learned the basics. And much, much more. She made us study the Bible. We had to get out our dictionary, our concordance, all of those things. And she taught me how to do that. She also made me pray out loud. Now, the first time I went, I didn't have to pray out loud because she gave us a break every time you were there for the first time. But when you came back a second time, you had to pray. And I think that's kind of funny. I was talking to her after the first service because now that's what I love to do is pray. So she also taught us how to create a caring environment. We really, the ladies and I, were still friends. We cared for each other through some really difficult times, but through some really positive times. I sent my first kid off to college while I was part of that Bible study, and that those ladies walked me through that. It was just a really good time. She always held us accountable for whatever God was calling us to do. She would say, well, what did God tell you to do? Be obedient. And she would hold us accountable for that. I think everybody needs somebody like that in their lives. Not long after I started the Bible study, I also started volunteering in the church office. So I filled out the little card you guys have in your seat backs in back of you, in front of you. And I put down, oh, I can help out in the office. I mean, I used to work in an office. I'm kind of handy at some of those things. I could probably give you guys a help. And one of the support pastors, Doris, called me and said, yeah, come on in. So I did. Slowly, little by little, they started giving me more to do. And I started eating it up. I loved it because I was doing something that I liked to do. And I was helping out in the process, and it gave me life. I went from being a consumer, just coming and sitting on Sundays, to actually serving and being a contributor, and that was huge. After a little while, Di started inviting me to come in and help her out with the finances, just some bookkeeping stuff. They asked me to help do a little bit on the website, so I learned how to do that, which is kind of fun. But they just started gradually feeding me and teaching me and investing in me. They asked me to go to a leadership event, and I thought, why? I'm not a leader. I can't go to a leadership event. But I went, and it was amazing because people had taken the time to invest in me because they saw something in me that maybe I didn't see, which has brought me to where I am today. See, in 2009, our pastor, he was here for a long time, Pastor Sam, he was promoted to our Gateway District Supervisor. And his team that he wanted to go with him were this couple of people from the staff here, and one of them was Diana. So that left the administrative role open at our church. And they asked me if I would consider taking that. And I did. I jumped at it because I thought, wow, look at what God did. He groomed me for this. He brought me up for this. Now, I wish I could say that it was just a piece of cake after that. It wasn't. But that's okay, because through that time, God built my faith, my spiritual muscle, if you were, which is really good. And now I'm standing in front of you speaking, which is amazing. Kind of a miracle. If you had known me 13 years ago, you would probably realize really how big of a miracle this is. So the two things that really impacted my life being here in the church, and that was being in a connect group, which is my Bible study, and serving on a team. It took me from being a consumer to being a contributor to now being a carrier of the vision that God has given our church. And I really am excited. I know I keep saying that, but I really am excited about what God has. If I could have the worship team come up. I would like to propose a challenge to all of you, whether you come to our church or not. And that is, what is God asking you to do right now? Is he asking you to step outside of your comfort zone? Maybe join a connect group or serve on a team. Maybe it's to say yes to him for the first time. That would be awesome. But would you just take a moment and pray and just seek him? Ask him, Lord, what is it? What is my next step? Because we're all on a different journey. Your next step may not be to come up and speak in front of a bunch of people or to lead worship like these guys do so well. Maybe it's to do something really simple. Who knows? Only you and God, between you and that, you and him. So can you just take a couple of minutes and just pray about that? One thing that I did want to remind everybody, and it's a good reminder for me too, is we don't do this alone. Jesus is right there with us the whole time. He never asks us to do something more than we can handle. He always gives us the strength to be able to do what he's asked us to do. He's the ultimate carrier. He carried our sin on a cross some 2,000 years ago so that we could live this life and live it abundantly. And it's an exciting life. I love, absolutely love this scripture in Matthew 11, 28 through 30 in the Message version. It just really recaps how good God is. It's Jesus talking to us. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He says, come to me, come to me. As the worship team sings this next song, this song really is just coming from God over us. Just pause and pray, seek God. And then I will come up and dismiss us after we're done. Thank you, Lord. Such a good word this morning. Come to him. That's what he's asking us to do. After praying and seeking him a little bit, there's some stuff stirring in your heart. I would like to pray for us. I include me in this prayer because I'm in this crossing over with you guys. So if you would just lay out your hands, just like in the surrendered state. And let me pray for you. Father, I am so excited for what you're getting ready to do here at North Rock Church. It's already actually started. See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Yes, Lord. Thank you. We give ourselves to you, Lord. Show us. Show us what our next steps are. Give us the strength and courage, Lord, to walk that out. I pray that if there's any fear, that it be replaced with faith. Lord, that you would give us a promise to hold on to, just like you've been so faithful to do. That we would be able to hold on to that, even through the waves and the winds and whatever storms may come. I thank you, Lord, for my church. We are ready. And we give it to you. Maybe you're here today and you have a little bit of fear going on. Can I just pray for you right now? Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for your spirit that brings peace instead of fear. We don't have to have it. You say in your word, do not fear, for I am with you. Help us to remember that promise as things come at us. And maybe we can't see, or maybe we're having just a quick shortness of breath because things are happening so quickly around us. Lord, I pray for your comfort and your peace to descend on your people. And maybe you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus. This is your first time really hearing about how he can change a life. Can I just invite you to begin a relationship with him? He really does love you. He came and died on a cross for our sin. And he rose again 3 days later. And now he's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. He really does want to have a relationship with you. Will you join me in praying this prayer? We pray it every week. It's just a good reminder of what we're committing to. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. It's in Jesus' name I pray and I trust. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you said yes to Jesus for the first time, I have a gift to give you. I'd love to chat with you after the service. We'll have some people to pray for you up here if you'd like prayer. And other than that, you are dismissed. Have a great week. Go Broncos.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.